Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi, team. I am Fitz Kohler, and welcome back to the Fitness Show. Great to be here once again. I hope you guys are having a great day, great week. I am somewhat traumatized. I just dropped my two adorable children off at summer camp for 2 weeks, and I'm happy they're gone to have the most amazing time ever. The camp they go to is kind of like being dropped off in a Disney movie for 2 weeks. It's ridiculous. They have water sports, so every single day they get to go kneeboard, wakeboard, water ski, paddleboard, do skin diving. They get to do arts and crafts. They have this class called Yacht Club where they get on a boat and they cruise around the lake in captain's hat, you know, like Captain Steubing wore, and they flash Monopoly money and just try to look fancy. I mean, they have such a ridiculous time. Every night there's a luau or a dance party, a lip sync contest. They have color wars and scavenger hunts, and it's crazy fun. So yay for them. And yay for me, because I enjoy the silence. I certainly do. However, my daughter, she's gung-ho. She's me on steroids, if you can believe that. She is, whoo! She has never met a stranger, and she is fun, 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 and brave, 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 and raring to go for everything and anything. And then my son, he's kind of like a Winnie the Pooh. He's sweet, and he's definitely great to the friends he has, but he was a little anxious about going into a cabin full of boys he didn't know this year. And the look in his eyes just ripped the heart out of my chest. So I am actually, as I speak, you listen, waiting for an email from camp to come in. I just need verification he is having a good time, and then I could breathe again. Until then, not so much. So I have enjoyed all the feedback you guys are sending me, and please keep it coming, because again, this is a new podcast. I think this is episode number 5, and I'm a big girl and I'm confident in what I do, but I love hearing back from you. And you know, most of the feedback is really great. In fact, I haven't had anything negative, but I'm always up for criticism and suggestions. So please send it. I just got Nicole Schuster, who I don't think I've ever met before, but she tweeted me today. And what did she say? I just started listening to your podcast today. Holy smokes, girl. I love your spunky personality and no BS attitude. And so I don't really worry if you don't like my no BS attitude, because I think that's what's needed in fitness. And sometimes everyone just needs to be shaken, a little clarity forced down your throat. But I like that. I like that. And you know, it helps. It helps. And some of you have left comments on iTunes and Podbeans and likes, and that all helps because I'm trying to grow this. So if you like what I'm doing, please hit share. Please hit like. Please send a review. That would be nice. But anyways, I've got some other things to talk about today. We are going to get into my awkward moments with celebrity interviews. And so basically, I'm going to reveal to you what a buffoon I am today. And it is what it is. I'm definitely not perfect, and you will understand that more clearly at the end of this show. But I'm going to talk about my interactions with the Wiggles, with Sean Astin from The Goonies and Lord of the Rings, and then Brooke Shields, who quite possibly is one of the most beautiful women on the planet. But I wanted to let you know that I'm very excited today that I have this shirt. I'm a Gator. And I was at a University of Florida baseball game, one of the, I think, SEC championship or something like that, a month or so ago. And I stopped in by the football training facility, which is blow your mind amazing. Oh, it's so beautiful. State of the art, everything. But they had some sort of lineman camp, summer camp for these big dudes. I don't think anyone was under 250. And they were massive. And they had these big orange shirts. And right across the chest in blue, it said, Big Man, Florida football. And I fell in love. And so I'm good friends with our athletic director, who's one of the greatest guys in the world. Definitely the top athletic director in the nation. He has kept the University of Florida in the top 10 overall sports for, I think it's 20 years or 30 years. It's something ridiculous. But he's amazing. But I saw these shirts, which are massive, and I texted him telling him I was obsessed and needed to have one. I didn't hear back from him right away, but about a couple of weeks later, I got a message that said, "Your wish is my command. Your shirt is waiting at my office." So I just went and picked it up today. I'm sure it's probably like a 4XL for men, and it's spectacular, and I'm wearing it. So just imagine that. I look good. If you go to Instagram on my fitness account, FITZNESS, go to Instagram. You'll see how glamorous I look in this shirt. But it's very cozy. And then the other thing I wanted to talk to you about before we get into this is I just heard this commercial again today, and it kills me. It's on the radio, and they're selling some sort of weight loss pill. You know, it's like, you will lose it in 30 days or your money back. But be careful, if you lose too much weight, you may have to cut back. Oh, God. Really, they're threatening you with too much weight loss. What a scam. These people have no boundaries. And you know what makes me sad is there's people out there that go, oh my gosh, it's so good, I might lose too much weight. I gotta get that stuff. So they have no boundaries, these snake oil salesmen, but that commercial just cracks me up. So listen for it. I'm a talk radio girl, so maybe it's on my talk radio station, but yeah, careful, you may lose too much weight. Oh, I'd like to punch those people in the face. But they were good for a good laugh today. So we're going to talk about my celebrity shenanigans, or just a few of them. But I wanted to let you know, because I always want to teach you something, and today I'm not going to be teaching you very much. But if you're trying to lose weight, please go to fitness.com, search the exact formula for weight loss. In fact, I think that article is on the very front of my front page. But do that, and that will help you get to your ideal weight, guaranteed, every time. We also have an episode of the Fitness Show on that. And then if you're looking for workout ideas, we've got plenty at fitness.com. I offer a daily workout training group on Facebook. It's the Hottie Body Fitness Challenge. It's a group. Ask to join, and I'll let you in, and we'll train together. So beyond that, we are ready to go. So I'm going to tell you why I got into celebrity interviews. It was many, many years ago, and I was a fitness expert for AOL, America Online. We had been writing posts about whatever, anything fitness related. And I just thought, you know what? I think I should bring celebrities into this. And I reached out to my editor and she said, really, why? And I said, well, here's the deal. I'm one of the most highly credentialed fitness experts you'll ever come across. Between my years of experience, the things I've done, my training, my master's degree, there's not much above what I've accomplished in credibility. However, I truly believe that if you put myself on a stage with Beyonce and someone wanted to know how to get a great butt, they would ask Beyonce, which kind of kills me because she was just born with that big, juicy, beautiful butt. But people really have this great revelry for celebrities, and they're interested, and I get it. So I thought, well, instead of fighting that, I will just join them. And I will use these celebrities as a tool to get my message across, because they all have the same stories. They will all tell me that they used to try stupid diets, stupid pills, stupid shakes, and then none of that worked. And because their career counted on them being in good shape, they finally had to decide to eat right and exercise. Makes sense, yeah? So I use them. They tell my story. They get my message across for me, and everybody's happy. So that's why I got into it. But I tell my editor this. She goes, yeah, you think you can get a celebrity? I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can. I'm a pushy little thing. And lo and behold, I was able to. I mean, I've definitely at this point interviewed hundreds, and a fantastic crowd. Singers, actors, athletes, Olympians, you name it, I've done it. But right now, we're going to start with my first in-person celebrity interview. So I had done a few over the phone and just transcribed them into Q&A. But at the time, my kids were really little, and they always had the Wiggles on. And I loved them, too. They were great. You know, you could watch Barney or the Teletubbies or Dora, and they were all cute. They all had something to offer. But what I really focused in on at some point was with Dora, Dora never shut the hell up about Cupcake Mountain and the Chocolate River. It was Bate Bate Chocolate. That means mix the chocolate cake. And she just kept singing about sweets and candy. And again, she was very cute, but it annoyed me a little bit that they were glorifying that. But the Wiggles never stooped. They're actually a former rock band. Most of them were former 80s rock band guys who went to college, become preschool teachers, ended up taking their musical talents, putting them to use in university, and that's how the Wiggles were born. But they sing about healthy food, fruit salad, yummy, yummy. You guys know that song. They sing about animals in the zoo and exercise and dancing, and I thought they were great. So I decided I'll reach out to the Wiggles. And I also, this is a secret only everybody knows, but I kind of had a crush on the Blue Wiggle because he was a cutie pie, but he also was really funny and happy, and I'm drawn to that. So I thought, all right, we'll reach out to the Wiggles. So I contact their PR people, and the guy was really nice, and he goes, okay, well, do you want to meet him in Chicago? I thought, in person? Okay. And so quickly, I ended up in Chicago at, I think, Allstate Arena with the Wiggles. But I go in, I have a friend there who's going to help me video record this thing. It's very a low-level production at this time. So she comes along with me, and in fact, we had kind of seen their buses pull up in front of our hotel that morning. But we took our taxi over to the Allstate Arena, and we're told by their tour manager, go wait in this room. You'll do your interviews in there. So I said, okay. And I was fine. I wasn't nervous or anything, but all of a sudden I could hear their buses pull up. And so these are people we've been watching for years. And I'm not celebrity crazy. I'm not starstruck at all. But all of a sudden I thought, oh, here come the Wiggles. It was so funny. And so it was all of them and their dancers. And the very first person to walk by the open door in the room I was going to work in was Jeff, the purple Wiggle. Jeff's the one who goes to sleep and they wake up Jeff. And it was a pretty surreal moment because I thought, wow, it's kind of like peeking in on Santa Claus. I felt like I really shouldn't be there. But there goes Jeff, and a few minutes later, there goes Murray. And they at that point, the yellow Wiggle was Sam. And I don't even lay my eyes on Anthony, but that's the blue Wiggle. Anyways, they go, and they get into their costumes. And so I'm just waiting in this room for them. But the first one to come out was Sam. And poor Sam had just become the new yellow Wiggle. So the original yellow Wiggle, who was amazing, Greg Page, he was sick and he had to leave the band. And so Sam joined him. But Sam wasn't in very good shape. He wasn't in very good shape at all. He wasn't morbidly obese and sickly, but he was just kind of soft, kind of fluffy and awkward. I think he was terrified because he had to come chit-chat with the fitness girl. So I don't even know what we talked about. I just remember it being really, really awkward. And we got through it. We got the video. And then Jeff came out. And Jeff is so cute. He's really cute. I think he's in his 60s now. But he's a really athletic guy. He's a cyclist and a surfer. And they had some fitness equipment brought on to taken off their bus backstage because they work out while they're waiting. And there's certainly a lot of waiting and entertainment. So there was a Bosu, which is kind of a stability ball, but half of it. And it has a hard platform on one side, hard flat, and then a big ball on the other. So I thought I would teach Jeff to surf. And so I put the ball side down and the flat side up, and I helped Jeff on top of the ball, the flat part, which is a balancing act. And he did really well, but he was very sweet. And actually what's funny is before I went there, I used to tell Ginger, Anthony's hot. That's the blue Wiggle. Anthony's hot, which makes me probably some sort of obnoxious mother. But she would say, no, Jeff is hot. And so I told him, I said, well, Ginger thinks you're hot. He probably thought I was a complete catastrophe at that point. But he was great. Murray came out. Murray looks a little bit like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. He's 6'5" or something like that. He was very, very nice. And he showed me some stretches. And this is all on video. And if you go to YouTube and go to my Fitness channel, you can look these up and see them. They were, I don't know, they're 9 years ago or something like that now. But then The Pirate came out. And so if any of you are parents and you have little kids, The Pirate, his real name is Paul Paddock. They call him Patty. But he's kind of looks like a lunatic in this pirate outfit, or he at least looks silly, right? He comes out, and he is one hunky hunk of a man. He's built, he's broad shoulders, muscular. Whoo! Very, very cute. And he's sweet as pie, and as crazy as he is on stage, he's as shy backstage. And so I met him, I made him blush a few times, and he was just very sweet. And I'm working with him, and then I could feel I could feel just some sort of rush of something. And Anthony came behind us, and I thought, ooh. But I finished up with Patty. That was a great interview. And then Anthony was just super fun. Everything I was drawn to him on TV. He's a very happy guy. I got him on the Bozu, and we were just chit-chatting. He was just newly, he's certainly come a long way in fitness. He used to suffer from depression, back pain. He served in the Australian Army and was injured, and now he was using fitness as a way to relieve his pain, and he certainly had accomplished that. He had lost a significant amount of weight by the time I personally met him, and that was probably, our meeting was, whoa, look at you, but he said, Fitzy. I got a nickname right away. It was Fitzy. You want to come down and see what I do? So we went down to his dressing room, which was a locker room. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not a locker room, just a dressing room with a bathroom. And so he has a pull-up bar he puts up in his bathroom door, and we worked out in his bathroom. And those interviews were so much fun. And besides having the little giggles, because I thought he was cute, like a seven-year-old, we ended up working together. I mean, I probably every year for 5-6 years, and I was able to watch his transition. He's a wonderful guy. He's got a wife and 3 kids, so I'm sure she probably thinks I'm super annoying, but I'm just a fan of the Wiggles. But we ended up working out in his bathroom for most of that time, so that was interesting. But anyways, I'm going to get to the real chaos that I'm embarrassed to share, but I'm going to do that right now. So everybody knows Sean Astin from The Goonies, right? He's in The Goonies. He's in Lord of the Rings. Sean's been in a lot of stuff and comes from acting royalty. His mother was Patty Duke, just passed away, so that's sad. But he's a wonderful guy. And Sean, believe it or not, he's quite the athlete. So many of you know this, some of you may not. But he's run tons of marathons, tons of half marathons. He just completed an Ironman. Great shape. And we probably were introduced to each other about 4 years ago at a Run Disney event. And if you're unfamiliar with that, that's the endurance racing branch of Disney World. They put on everything from 5Ks to marathons throughout the year, some on the East Coast in Orlando, some on the West Coast at Disneyland. But great events, and Sean's a big fan. And for at least a while, he was a regular at the events. I think Disney would fly him in, and he would be the famous guy. So we were brought out at the same time to some press event running the day before the race. So there was maybe about 60 of us running. And we did a run. We had breakfast. It was blah, blah, blah. But at the time, I was shooting. I was fitness expert for an ABC News outlet. And I wanted to get an on-camera video interview. So I say, hey, Sean, can we do this? Or the PR people brought him over. He says, yes. So we set up in the little, I think it was Germany. Yeah, the German pavilion in Epcot. And we're sitting down or standing up in that little courtyard, and someone's holding the camera. I don't know who. And I'm using a flip camera at this time, which was actually a dynamite little tool. High definition, great sound. It was wonderful. But anyways, somebody was recording us, and we get few minutes into the interview, and one of the crazy massive cuckoos comes out of the building. And this is a cuckoo the size of me. And it's like, cuckoo! And it's a little cuckoo clock. And the ladies, they're dancing and yodeling around. And so interview trashed. We get a few minutes into it. Sean, do you mind doing it again? No, no problem. He's a very good guy. Very average, regular, wonderful person. Anyone would like to know. So we leave the cuckoo courtyard and we go out towards World Showcase where around the lake there's a little walking path. So I take him out there and we try it again. We get a few minutes into it honk, a big truck comes by and blares his horn, and I'm just dying. I'm just dying because, you know, you don't want to eat up someone's time. And I know he's a regular guy, but he's also the celebrity guy. And I'm thinking, geez, what a pain in the can I must be. So we go for interview number three. We do it again. I'm trying not to ask the same questions, although there's questions I had wanted answered. So we go through interview number three, and we finally get it. Thank you so much. I give him big hugs. And he goes off, and then I stick around. I actually interviewed an Olympian, a Paralympian. She was awesome. But I leave Epcot, and then I go meet my family at Magic Kingdom. And we spend the day there, and I have to go back. I have to leave the family to go back to do more Run Disney stuff. And when I get on the bus back to my hotel, I look down, and my video camera is gone. I lost it. I lost the whole video camera. So all three of the interviews with Sean, the two interrupted ones, and the third is interrupted, is gone. They're all missing. So I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm an idiot. I'm the worst person in the world. And so I had already told the TV station, hey, I have this Sean Astin interview. And I really wanted to get it again. So I go out looking in Orlando to try and find a similar type video camera. And I'm not having much luck at all. I just don't find anything. So then I think, well, I'll do it on my cell phone. I cleared out some space. And the next day, after the actual half marathon, I thought, okay, I'll just record it on my cell phone. So we meet at the start line. We hidey-ho, blah, blah, blah. Go run 13.1 miles. And then we get back to the VIP tent. And I'm thinking, golly, I have to ask him again. Hey, can I interview you again? So with my tail between my legs and my head down, feeling like an absolute idiot, I go over, hey, Sean, remember those three interviews I did yesterday? Well, I lost the camera. Can we do another one? And I know he wanted to strangle me. He, of course, he said, sure, no problem. Just the sweetest guy on the planet, but absolute torture. So we set up in the most quiet corner of this tent, which is still insanely loud because there's the announcers, there's the music, there's the crowd. It's just obnoxious. But I get Sean back there and we set up right away with my camera and instantly my phone dies. So that's F up number four. And fortunately, my friend Kelly Lewis to the rescue, she goes, I can do it on my iPhone. Hey, Kelly, are you sure? Yeah, no problem. So she sets up her iPhone. Thank God. She records the interview. It goes really well. I think the high/low point of the whole thing is we were talking about Run Disney Paris because at that time it was just a rumor that Run Disney was going to have a half marathon in their Disneyland Paris resort, and they actually are doing it this September, but back then it was just a rumor. I said, what do you think, Sean? And he starts to answer. And like a lunatic, I take my pointer finger and I shove it underneath his nose and I go, ho, 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 you are French. So you can see it on video. It's on my TV highlight reel if you ever find that. But once again, go to YouTube, look at my interview with Sean Astin. You'll see my finger jam right up underneath his nose. And so he still tolerates me. We're actually pretty sweet friends. We see each other at a bunch of races and he's escorted me to many start lines, and he's a lovely, lovely guy. So if you ever run into Sean Astin, mention this. Mention, say, I heard Fitz Kohler really, really gave you a hard time with an interview once, but he's wonderful. Maybe if I reach out, I'll have him as a real guest on this show, and we will not have any sort of technical problems, but that was probably one of my worst celebrity interviews ever. I couldn't get it right. I could not get it right. And I was embarrassed. The interviews end up coming out great, but oh my gosh, hang my head in shame over that one. And then the last one I'm going to talk about today, we're going to keep this episode short, but my time working with Brooke Shields. So Brooke Shields from Blue Lagoon, from Suddenly Susan, she plays Miley Cyrus's passed away mother in Hannah Montana, or the memories of Hannah Montana's mother, or Anyways, Brooke Shields, beautiful. Someone I grew up with, nothing between her and her Calvins. I just really thought she was fantastic. And so I'd left AOL. I was working just on my own site, Fitsness. And I was sent a press release from a PR person that said, hey, Brooke Shields is working with us. Would you be interested in interviewing her? Hell yeah, that's the answer. So I said, well, what's this about? And she's working for Latisse. She was the Latisse spokesperson. And Latisse is the little liquid you put on your eyelashes, and it makes them grow more quickly. And so as a beautiful woman, she nabbed herself a job as a spokesperson for Latisse. So they were meeting. They were having some sort of special event in Dallas, and could I come? Absolutely. So I get on the plane and I go to Dallas, and I actually have a professional video crew, thank God, so nothing Sean Astin-ish would happen again. But I was dealing with the PR person and I was supposed to meet her first. And I think we were meeting, it was either the Ritz or the Four Seasons. I can't remember which, but it was something super fancy in Dallas. And so I was staying in a different hotel. And I came in and I was looking for, I think her name was Laura, the PR girl. And I think Laura had brown hair. So I show up, I look around the lobby, and I have no idea where to go. It's fairly quiet. And so I start to walk over to, let me back up. I'm going to back up for 1 minute because this is important. I was in my hotel that morning getting dressed. And so I had brought, I don't know, some sort of fancy pants and a pretty shirt to wear, but I'm a plain Jane. You've seen my pictures. I'm not a glamour girl. I grew up on the beach. No real skill with makeup, no real skill with hair, but I'm getting ready in my hotel room and I don't have hairspray. I got to run down by hairspray, but I was getting ready and it just wasn't working. The hair, the curling of the hair wasn't going my way. The makeup wasn't going my way. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to sit next to Brooke Shields. Why bother? You know, I could have just shown up in some pajamas and a messy bun, because nobody looks nice next to Brooke Shields. That's a fact. There's absolutely nobody in the world that looks nice next to Brooke Shields. So anyways, I do my best after being frustrated. I throw together as good as Fitz Kohler can look for the moment, and I go to the hotel. So I'm there, I head over to concierge to say, hey, do you know where this Latisse thing is going on? And then I see two brunette women charging towards what looks like the back where they may have some sort of ballroom or something. And so I think it's Laura. And I go, Laura! And I'm running across the lobby, click, click, click with my heels. Hey, Laura! Laura! And I'm trying not to yell too loud because I'm in the Ritz or Four Seasons, whatever. And I'm going and she keeps going. Now, it never dawns on me that, hey, maybe this is not Laura. She's not turning around. She's not acknowledging me. But I keep going, and she gets in the in the elevator. The two women, they turn around. I'm standing there at the door with my hand up going, hey, Laura, and it's Brooke Shields. And she's staring at me like, weirdo, what? And so I just looked at her with the deer in headlights, and I went, oh, sorry, you're not Laura. And I ran away, I'm sure. So then I'm thinking to myself, what kind of weirdo am I? She's going to see me that I am the person interviewing her. And she's going to walk and turn away because now I am the stalker. I am the stalker who's chased her across the lobby, chased her practically into an elevator. Oh, so that was interesting. So we go through the process. We wait. The camera crew gets set up and she joins me. And I, once again, have to apologize. I said, I'm so sorry I chased you into the elevator earlier. I'm not a stalker. I thought you were someone else. She goes, I could tell you weren't looking for me. I said, I wasn't. I was looking for Laura and I didn't know what she looked like. And I don't know why I thought you guys were Laura. And she was so sweet. She is self-deprecating to the nth degree, funny, sarcastic. She was telling me that she had a similar experience with the Jonas Brothers. She had brought her daughters to go see them, because they were a big deal at the time. And I think the story, it was something to the fact that she was trying to take a picture and then the battery was dead. And, I felt pretty good when she was telling me that story. But she's had some major dork moments too. And what I thought about Brooke is I thought she was absolutely radiant. I've never sat next to a woman who just glowed like that. She was absolutely radiant, legitimately beautiful, but she had this wonderful presence and such a very special, special beauty. I was so impressed by that. And just fun. We talked about the kids. We talked about nonsense. She's someone I would totally want to have her come sit on my couch and hang out on a Wednesday night in messy clothes. She's awesome. So she's someone I support. I love to see her when she's getting jobs on, you know, commercials or spokesperson work. I don't see her acting too much lately, but boy, does she deserve to. She's a really good egg. And during the interview, I had two big flaws. Number one, she had just been dealing with some sort of case where her mother was suffering from dementia, and it was an issue with paparazzi, so I asked her about it. And then she gave me the deer in headlights look, and we had to cut because she goes, I'm not allowed to talk about that. So I had to pause, and we had to redo it. And the purpose of the interview was for me to talk to her about Latisse. And so we go through this 6-minute interview talking about fitness and other things. I wrap it up, and then the PR person goes, well, you never mentioned Latisse. Damn it. So I got another 5-6 minutes of interview out of Brooke Shields because we had to go back into it and talk about beauty and Latisse. So that was kind of funny. But she was wonderful. And this is interesting. There's two interesting things. So she leaves, and I have the good feeling now. I don't feel like a creepy stalker. I feel like a girl who just scored an awesome interview with an A-lister, and she was fantastic. But the other spokesperson at the time was this woman, Anastasia. I think she's from Russia or something like that. But she was Oprah Winfrey's eyebrow shaper. That's apparently a really big deal job. And the rumor was she was paid $25,000 per eyebrow fixing. I don't know what you do, your eyebrow shaping. And she lives in Beverly Hills, but Oprah would fly her across the country to do her eyebrows. So I, you know, once again, plain Jane over here, I wasn't too much into eyebrowing, but I speak to Anastasia. We do another interview with her, and very nice, very clear and concise about eye care and so forth. And then she asks me, do you ever have your eyebrows done? And I said, no. And I'm you know, I've used a tweezer to make sure I didn't have stray hairs, but no, I've never done anything. She goes, come here. She brings me in this conference room, and I just go like a sheep. I just go, and she goes, sit down. I do. She grabs my forehead, pulls it back, takes a scissor out, and she starts cutting. And I don't even know why I sat there, because I'm a bull in a china shop. Nobody takes advantage of me. I'm very confrontational if necessary. But I just let her pull my head back. We had no consultation. We didn't speak about what I wanted done with my eyebrows or if I wanted anything done. And she just starts clipping away. And so I've got my head back, and I'm in this plaza or fancy hotel conference room in this chair thinking, what the hell? And all I could say to myself is, she does Oprah. Oprah. She does Oprah. She does Oprah. She's got to have some sort of skill at this. So panic. She gets a pencil out. She draws them in. And I'm hyperventilating internally, secretly hyperventilating the whole time. But I get up and I look in the mirror. The eyebrows are not freaky. I do not look like Edward Scissorhands. I look like a good eyebrow girl, I guess. I really couldn't tell much difference. But I was panic-stricken. Oh, my gosh. I was panic-stricken. So we wrap that up. Thank God. It's over. I start to leave. I'm feeling like that was a good day for Fitz Kohler. Hooray for me. I get back to my hotel, and I turn on the television, and Michael Jackson is being driven ambulance to a hospital. And that's the day he died. And so I really dodged a bullet, because if he would have died or been taken to the hospital an hour and a half or an hour earlier, I don't think I would have got that video. Because even Brooke was supposed to be at an event that night, and she did come and make a short appearance, but apparently she was pretty broken up about it. So, anyways, that was exhausting. It was exhausting. I think about how many times I screw up. I'm really good at stuff, and I think like you all out there, we all have our skills, our talents, our capabilities, but on occasion, things go wrong. There's just not much you can do about it. I have learned that I am better off if I have a professional videographer in my midst, and so I try to go with that as much as possible, and fortunately, that's the arena in which I work at this point is usually professional camera equipment, studios, and things that take that burden off me. But I'm sure the opportunity will come again for me to get some sort of iPhone or iPad and do some work. And yep, I will screw it up. Guaranteed. So I have some more awkward celebrity stories, you betcha, because that's how I roll. I can make anything into a weird, awkward situation, but they all did what I asked, what I was hoping they would do. Both the Wiggles, all four of them, plus the Pirate, that makes five, Sean Astin and Brooke Shields all said the same thing, is they're down to trying to eat better and trying to exercise more, to get sleep, stretch. They all told the story I wanted them to tell. Now, mind you, I'm not guiding them. I'm not asking them to give out fake advice, or they're just being honest. And it really has enhanced all of their careers. So if you get a chance, go to my YouTube page and look up those interviews. And I would love to hear your thoughts. They're all pretty old, but I think they're pretty funny. So anyways, that's it for today. If you haven't already listened to the episode called Why Your Excuses Are Lame, I would do that because I'm sure you make some excuses at some point for not working out. And you should know that those excuses you make are lame and you basically have no legitimate cause to miss workouts. And so if I can help you get fitter faster, that's what I would like to do. Don't forget, visit me at Fitsness on all of my social media channels. That's Twitter, Pinterest, my Facebook page. I'm on YouTube. I am on Instagram. Please follow. Please send your feedback. I love the good feedback, but I'm definitely willing to take your suggestions on how I could do better and find something healthy to eat that you've never eaten before today. That's your goal of the day. Find something different to try. And for me and the poor celebrities I have tortured over the years, it's your turn to get to work. Bye, team.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.